Hello and welcome to the first installment ever, we promise, of the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Alex Adianju, Andy Samuelson here for the football portion of the first episode. We got a lot today. We're going to talk UNLV Utah State this weekend. We've also got a few minutes with Casey Flair. We caught up with the senior wide receiver earlier this week at Rebel Park. And then Rob Mish will be in later to talk about Rebel basketball recruiting, which has picked up here in the past few weeks. But guys, it's good to have this going.
We've been talking it for a couple weeks.
If I may say something real fast, I've heard about your guys' great podcast in Kansas and just the honor and the opportunity to be here with you guys right now. It's truly amazing. I'm going to tell my grandkids about this day.
I can see how you're in awe there, Alex, but maybe we should introduce ourselves to the public.
I don't know if my head's going to be able to fit out of the door after that. After those props right there. Andy, why don't you start us off?
Well, I'm Andy Samuelson. I've been out here for about a year, and now I'm kind of picking it up with UNLV football, but I did kind of help invent the Spodcasters back at KUSports.com, and Green can take it over.
All right, well, I'm Ryan Green. I just came out here. Me and Andy both came out here from Lawrence, Kansas. Been out here for about 6 weeks covering the Rebels, football, and hoops. I'll be covering stuff alongside Rob Mish also, who will be in the studio later on. Alex?
I'm Alex Adianju. I've been out here for about 5 months. I came here from Naples, Florida. I do TV work, 702.tv. I'm a sports anchor for that. We'll also have a new sports show coming up called All In. You'll see that in a couple of weeks. So that's what I'm here. I just do sports in Las Vegas.
It's He's fire. Also a Sagittarius, ladies, if any of you are interested.
Sexy a Taurus. Don't get it twisted. Anyway, let's go. Let's talk UNLV.
Let's talk about what the people we think really want to hear about, and that is UNLV football. The season kicking off on Saturday at 7 o'clock at Sam Boyd Stadium against Utah State. 2-10, two wins the last 4 years each. Give me a reason why you're excited.
Because you can bet on this game.
I mean, the fact remains they have a lot of players returning from last year's squad. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have a lot of players returning from a squad, you would hope that improvements would be made, more wins will be had. So I think that this year, I mean, I'm not talking BCS Bowl or anything like that, but I'm saying they can win 5 games maybe. They got 7 home games this year. I mean, that's a lot of home games. If you can go 4-3, win a couple on the road, that's 6 wins. There you go.
Honestly, for both these teams who – both had 2 wins last year. I mean, you look forward to this game because it's a winnable game for each of you. If you can't win this one, then the season gets a little tougher.
Yeah, and this, you know, the Vegas odds makers, 12.5-point favorites are the UNLV Rebels, which for a team off a 2-win season, you may think is a little gracious. But, you know, a coworker of ours, Jeff Haney, was telling us about all the returning starter factor and how it is pretty big. In terms of making the lines, and you know, UNLV does have a lot back, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And Alex, we've kind of gotten the sense so far that, you know, that's what this team is looking at as its bread and butter, and even a little bit inside that is its passing game.
Yeah, I mean, they returned 9 of 11 starters. Omar Clayton was named quarterback week one of camp. You have 4 returning wide receivers with Casey Flair, Anthony, and a whole bunch of crew. I mean, this offense has the firepower to make something happen. I mean, Mike Stanford was the genius behind Urban Meyer and Utah, or so they say. So he's known to put offenses together that can maximize points, and you have all those players return on offense. Why not score 25, 30 points a game with UNLV?
And the players do buy into what Sanford's preaching. And you know, you mentioned all those receivers with, you know, the likes of Ryan Wolf, freshman Phillip Payne, who made a huge impact in camp this year. You know, the talent is there on the perimeter. The question is, can they get them the ball regularly? That's where it's all going to hinge, and that's where it usually does hinge.
Go ahead.
But for a team like UNLV, this isn't exactly a walk in the park, especially saying that they almost, you know, they were trailing Utah State till the final minute last year when Summers bowled into the end zone to give them their first win of the year.
I mean, they still have Frank the Tank coming back this year. I mean, he's ready. He didn't want big things happening this year. I mean, who knows what the future holds for UNLV football right now?
Well, we're not going to be bold and predict a bowl game because that might be irresponsible as journalists. But I mean, we can see the groundwork for potential improvement this year in the win column. Alex, you mentioned the 7 home games and the schedule. You know, the way it lays out, this game this weekend against Utah State. One, it's important because it's at home. Two, it's very important because the next 2 weeks you're going to Utah and to Arizona State, two teams that will be playing in bowl games this winter. This holiday season, you've got to make a good statement this weekend.
You can't go 0-3 to start the year. You have to go 1-2. They have to win this game on Saturday. And then you look down the line, their schedule, Iowa State, at home. Iowa State is horrible on the road. Nevada at home. I mean, last year Nevada's
game. It's a winnable
game. Last year Nevada's game, that pretty much turned the season for UNLV when they were up in the fourth quarter and they blew that loss to drop to 2-3. So then you have Colorado State. Yeah. Air Force at home, maybe. I mean, BYU, not going to happen. Let's be real about that.
Yeah.
TCU at home. New Mexico at home. Wyoming at home. I mean, you look at the schedule. You look. You dream. I mean, why not? That's all I'm saying.
You just can't be going into week 4 with broken spirits.
You can't go to week 4 0-3. You cannot do that. You have to have one win out of those three games. You better win Utah State. Because if you beat Utah or Arizona State, I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm going to be a little irresponsible because I don't really take myself that serious as a journalist, and I'd like to put it out there for all you future sports bettors in the world. go ahead and take this one, UNLV to cover. I think they win by 2 touchdowns. The one thing that this program really needs is a signature win that the fans can get behind. You know, put some fun in this program again. They haven't had that for so long, and I think they'll get it this week. Utah State, I mean, their defense is pretty solid, but they don't have a lot of returners coming back like you talked about on offense, especially at the key positions.
Yeah. So their starting quarterback left camp, I think, a week in. And between the four guys left, their starting Setzer, who's a fifth-year senior, who I think has thrown one pass in his college career. So, I mean, I don't know what that tells you.
I threw more passes than intramurals. I'm just saying it's intramurals, though.
How far, though? 3 yards?
It was Ohio University. I think I threw a couple of touches. Your boy was good back in the day.
You remember it, too.
Yeah,
you still replay it in your head over and over.
It was a no-look pass because I was looking off the safety to the right, and I threw deep left. Perfect play.
Andy, I don't buy that.
Yeah, no. I kind of wonder, too. But, hey.
I can go out in the field right now and reenact that play, even with the bad back.
Well, as much as our fans would like to see that, I would like to see the – you know, I'm not to be a homer or nothing, but, you know, UNLV has been so bad for so long. It would be nice for the fans. You kind of saw it last year, last couple years with basketball. If you provide a winner, they'll come out and watch you. And it really hasn't been that long ago that UNLV had some decent players there. I remember they beat KU, what was that, 2001?
2002, I believe.
Behind
it was.
Jason
yeah.
Thompson.
Yeah.
But, Thomas, anyway, you know, they need to kind of get a signature win and really get the season off on the right start.
I'm
and
not,
cover that spread, youngsters.
I'm not gonna predict that UNLV is going to lose this game, but I think it would be pretty big for them. You know, last year, Andy, you mentioned it, 23-16. I mean, beating Utah State, a team that would go on to win two games by 7 points, it kind of leaves you on shaky ground after week one. But, you know, UNLV, you're a team with two defensive starters that had elbow injuries in camp. One of them, Quentin Pointer, might be back. He's been practicing this week. They don't know if he's going to play it or not. But a new starting quarterback who does have some starting experience, but he has, you know, been anointed the guy going into the season. You really need some confidence just throughout your team. You know, going on the road to two hostile environments the next 2 weeks, I think they need to win this game by 3 touchdowns.
And I must say, the players, the coaches, they're all focused this week. I mean, they know what lies ahead. And you can sense it just after watching practice on Tuesday that they're ready for this game. They want this game. They're not overlooking Utah State maybe like they did last year. I mean, they're ready to make a statement. They're ready to come out. And they want this win bad coming into week one of the season.
Hey, Ryan, Vegas is a town where a lot of people move in and out. You know, I'm kind of one of those people. You are. Or how about those 5,000 people to move into Clark County each week? Just give us a couple names of people to watch or why they should get behind this team.
Well, I think Alex kind of hit it earlier, the receivers. I mean, that is the bread and butter for this team. Casey Flair, fifth-year senior. A guy who I feel is kind of the unquestioned leader of the offense. And then you got Ryan Wolf, a junior, alongside him. Phillip Payne, we mentioned, a true freshman from Vegas, Western High School. He's made a big impact. He's going to be a nice red zone threat. And Frank Summers is the guy that everyone's going to talk about. The big load of a running back, had over 1,000 all-purpose yards last season. He's going to get a lot of touches. Everyone knows it. On the defensive side, we mentioned Quentin Pointer, the closest thing UNLV does have to a shutdown corner. You know, he's going to be on the number one guy every week. Jake Hales, Malo Taumua inside on the line, and then Star Fuimano at middle linebacker, a quiet guy. But, you know, they had the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year a year ago in Bo Bell, who's now with the Cleveland Browns. And Fuimano is, I guess, the most likely to fill those shoes. So that's kind of your quick rundown, but, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll see as the season progresses what happens with UNLV, but they need a win on Saturday. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a must-win. You never want to say that in the season opener. But given their schedule the next upcoming weeks, they have to win this game coming up on Saturday night.
How much pressure do you think Samford feels on this game alone?
I think he's got to feel some because, you know, things have certainly changed around this program this summer. You know, they talked – Alex, you did a videos package about the up-tempo practices and how they're, you know, they've wanted to maybe mock the game situations a little more, keeping guys at a higher pace in practice. Ronnie Paulo, linebacker, told us that this is the first year where they've had offensive and defensive players room with one another at training camp to kind of, you know, make it feel as more as one. I mean, they're changing things. They've shut down practices to the public after camp. I think things are getting kind of serious, and, you know, Sanford's making that clear, and players aren't stupid. They understand that. And yeah, there's definitely that vibe at Rebel
Park.
You
can get a sense that jobs are on the line, and they're going to do whatever they can to win ball games to keep their jobs. I mean, anytime you're backed against the corner, me against the world, you got to go out there and you got to fight, and that's what they're doing. They're changing things. They want to do it their way. And if they do it their way and they succeed, they'll be like, all right, we did it our way. That's what happens.
But does it work?
We'll soon find out.
That's going to be
And remember, no matter how bad it gets, you can drink there at halftime, unlike most other college football stadiums. So you really are living the dream, Vegas.
The fans.
Well, I don't suggest that for the players, but hey, that's kind of you in the program.
You lose the first five games of the year, you don't know what's going to happen in that locker. But all right, well, we talked about how wins are needed, things need to change. Well, before we get to a few minutes with Casey Flair, let's get a prediction, and is it two predictions, a win-loss record, because I think we're pretty much all in agreement that Utah State's not going to come in here and win. Let's get a prediction on the wins, and is it enough for Mike Sanford to save his job?
I think they go 5-7 this year.
Okay.
And I think Sanford saves his job for one more year.
Okay.
I mean, if you've been reading the Las Vegas Sun stories, it's going to cost an awful lot to buy him out anyways. So, I mean, if they get five wins, that's a double the win improvement from last year. That's a sign of improvement. Things are going up. And plus, a lot of their stars are only sophomores and freshmen right now. And they will be back next year. So, if they get five wins, he'll be good.
Well, I wish I could go with the Vegas line on this one because it's right at 3.5, and I can't really decide if I think they'll win 3 or 4 games. I'm a little – I mean, they have some winnable games at home, but asking for much more than 4 is going to be really tough for a program that hasn't – experienced that winning success the last couple of years and does have underclassmen in some key position too.
So what's your prediction?
I'd say they win, I'll say 4-8, and probably the buyout clause lets them get one more chance.
I'm going to go with Alex. I guess I'll be the optimist this time of year. I'll go 5-7. I think it's enough. And, you know, like you said, 5-7 is a lot of gives a lot of reason for optimism considering how young a lot of this team is.
I would say if this is NTO9 and I was playing, we'd go 12-0. BCS title game, no doubt.
And that's why you're not in charge.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I run those streets. That's all.
Well, this part's going to get cut out, so it won't really matter.
Well, now we're going to get on to a few minutes with Casey Flair. This is something we will do every week. We're gonna get a few minutes, whether it be a UNLV player, coach, somebody you guys want to hear from, let us know. If there's any questions you guys want to get into the segment, you, the listeners, email them to, you can email them to me, ryan.green, G-R-E-E-N-E, at lasvegassun.com.
He's trying to put your name out there for the ladies. I see how you roll.
Hey, What's wrong with that?
Former player Suge Knight out there. I'd like to hear what he's up to and see what he thinks of UNLV's team.
I think Suge's pretty busy right now, I'm just saying. He's doing a lot of things.
If you line that one up, we'll make it happen, Captain. I promise.
What was the name of this show again, Green?
The Rebel Room. Welcome to The Rebel Room. We hope you've enjoyed it so far. We're going to get a few minutes here with Casey Flair. We'll be back afterwards. Rob Misch will join us. We'll jump into the studio to talk some Rebel basketball recruiting. Talk to you in a bit. All right, we're here with senior wide receiver Casey Flair, who is fresh off of downing an entire 20-ounce bottle of Gatorade. That was impressive. I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, you get used to it. We have probably about 200 of those by the end of the camp, so you get pretty used to just killing a whole bottle.
You've probably killed quite a few of them here in the last 3 weeks. Camp is done, and now Utah State is on the horizon. I'm sure you guys have started looking at Utah State a little bit. Initial thoughts on what you're going to see this weekend?
Honestly, I think we're going to see a lot of what we saw last year. We played them. It was our first game last year, and we had a young quarterback starting. I think they're going to see that same thing this week. I think they're going to try to do the same thing they did last week. Also feel low that let they know that we have an experienced offense, so it might not be as much. But, they're coming back with some players, and I think that they're going to be much improved. And they have two of the best linebackers in the nation there for the Buckus Award. And so, we're very, very we're making sure that we're not just going in there thinking we're going to, get a victory or anything like that. We definitely know we got to come out and play on Saturday.
and we should probably say never mind the McCarran Airport traffic that flies over Rebel Park here. Do you get used to that after five years?
Yeah, not really. We know that when we get a team break at the end and the head man speaking, that there's going to be four or five planes. We're going to get four or five breaks there for about 25, 30 seconds.
You think he times it out to curse when that's happening?
Probably. Yeah, I think he does.
Well, you guys are 12.5-point favorites going against Utah State. I guess that's showing a lot of respect your guys' way. Two teams coming into this game who had tough times last year. How important is it to not only get the season started with a win, but maybe make a statement here against a team that maybe you can make one against?
I think it's really important. I think our first step, though, is we got to go out there and we got to be efficient on offense, on defense, special teams. We got to get everything down, and it's great to be favored, but I mean that's why they're odds makers and we're players. You know, we got to put it on the field, and it's something that we know as a team that we're confident, but we also got to know we got to respect them, and so we got to go out there on Saturday and we got to get a win. It's our house, it's our home opener, and it'd be nice to go out and get a victory.
And you can tell us after 3 weeks about as well as anybody what Omar Clayton is going to bring as the starting quarterback. He was named the starter first day at camp. You guys have been working with him as the number one here for 3 weeks now. Tell me why he's going to be successful this season.
Experience.
Yeah.
Bottom line, experience. He brings a lot of excitement to our offense. He can run the ball. He reads the defense really well right now, and he's throwing the ball really well. He's got a strong arm, and he makes his reads. And that's something that's made us better as a football team is he doesn't have to throw to just me or Ryan. There's five other guys out there that he can throw the ball to, and that really helps him as a quarterback. He doesn't have to think, I got to force it between two people. He can throw it to, we have other guys right now that are making plays in the receiver corps. And so that's a big for us. Also, we're going to have a running game with Frank, and our O-line is much improved. And I think as long as our O-line is able to keep doing what we're doing, it's going to take a lot of pressure off Omar because we'll be able to hand the ball off to, four and let him run down the throat a little bit.
I got to give you credit for not just saying because he has great receivers.
Yeah, it's one of those things. We get a speech probably every week about how this sport is one of the most interdependent, at any sport. You depend on the guy next to you, and that's something we talk about in the receiver corps. We want to be able to look across the field. I'm going to be able to look in Ryan's eyes and be able to look in Rodlin Anthony's eyes and be able to look in Philip Payne's eyes, Jeremy Robinson's eyes, and look at him and be like, no, I know that they're giving 100%, and we got to be able to do that with everybody in our huddle, and that's what we do when we get in the huddle.
You mentioned the name Philip Payne. He's made about as big an impression as any newcomer here these last 3 weeks. He's with you guys in the number one offense on the depth chart. How impressed have you been with him?
I think really impressed. He doesn't play with that mentality like I'm that guy. And that makes it easier to help him along with certain things. He's still doing a lot of learning, and he knows that. And he asks questions all the time, and he's always in there asking questions and learning, picking up stuff fast. He's what we call a low rep learner. And it's really helping him make plays on the field, and he's going to be a big impact on this team and take pressure off, our offense.
Well, kind of hitting on him, a guy who came almost out of nowhere to make a big impression in camp. Who's a guy who maybe we haven't seen as much of? Who you think is going to be making a big impression this season?
That's a good question.
And let's stick on the offensive side of the ball.
Maybe we haven't seen too much of. I'm kind of biased, but in our receiver corps, there's a guy that's been playing really well. His name is Jeremy Robinson, and he's going to get a lot of playing time. He's a great run blocker, and he catches the ball well. He practices hard every day, and that's really good. I think that's going to turn over into games. I think something that people are going to be impressed with is just in general is our O-line, how much better they've gotten and how they communicate.
All right, well, before we get out of here, do you care to throw a shout-out back to Anchorage, Alaska?
I do. I miss it back home. And actually, the Service High Cougars are coming down here, and they play Bishop Gorman next Friday night, and they'll be there at Utah State to support the Rebels. So we're excited about having them down here.
Well, tell me something really quick. You came from Anchorage, and now you're down here, and you've been in Vegas for 5 years. Do you ever envision yourself moving back?
I think eventually I will. I think it's like every person. Home is home, and that's where all my family
is.
That's where my
Vegas.
Friends are. Yeah, it's
Come
nice
on,
now. It's nice here, but at the same time, like I say, it's home is home, and that's where the family's at. And I do miss my family, so I think one day we'll be, next year, probably not, but I eventually probably will move back there.
What does Anchorage have that Vegas doesn't?
My family.
Fair enough. All right, Casey Flair, thank you very much.
Hello, welcome back to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green and Rob Mish here. Talk Rebel basketball for the second portion of the show, and it's the middle of August, but this is one of those schools where basketball is a year-round sport, and the Lon Kruger and his staff have certainly made some waves here in the past couple weeks, rounding out their 2009 recruiting class in terms of commitments. We're not talking anybody being signed yet, but they have They have commitments for all their open scholarships at this point in time for the 09 class. And Rob, they're making some waves right now. Definitely picking up some attention nationally, I would have to think.
Picking up a lot of attention nationally, and it's sort of like a monster that is just feeding itself. As more premier guys come here, more are looking at it. More friends of kids who are here are looking at it. And so it's really picking up steam.
Well, the biggest piece of the puzzle was arguably Anthony Marshall committing about, what's it been now, about a little over a week ago, probably about a week and a half.
Yep.
Senior guard from Mojave High School here in Las Vegas. And, you know, he really got, you know, he was already on the radar. But at the Adidas Super 64 back in July, he was paired up on a team with Elijah Johnson. First time they'd played together since I think they said about the seventh grade.
Yep.
Elijah Johnson, of course, the top high school prospect in the area. And Anthony just outdid him basically for a series of 5 days, and you know, UCLA picked up, Stanford picked up the phone, Arizona picked up the phone, UNLV won out early.
And he did it at both ends of the court, and he did it with premier coaches watching. And hats off to the kid for not so much noticing that UNLV was one of the first in on him, but kind of sticking with having loyalty, and Lon Kruger's program is all about loyalty, and that has really paid off with a lot of these kids who, you know, they notice who some of those first coaches are in the gym when they're sophomores, when they're juniors, maybe even earlier than that, and that sticks with a kid, and that's paid off with a guy like Marshall.
You know what I really noticed about what I really thought about him after watching him at the Super 64 was, you know, being the local kid, obviously UNLV's got to go after him, but I think he went from being a kid who they were recruiting to being probably a must-get after that tournament. I mean, doing what he did, and all the other coaches, especially in the West, starting to pick up on it, he became a must-get for Lon Kruger and company.
He did it, and that says a lot for getting the premier talent at home, getting them to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
With the rise of UNLV, that's going to become more and more likely, but that comes with a double-edged sword because they were just burned by a local kid, Marcus Lawrence. And I know Kruger knows you never know what you're getting in a guy. You can never really know what the character is going to be like, but they were just stung by a pretty good local talent. And that just comes with a bag of worms as far as keeping your old friends, maybe some who aren't the best influence for you, when in fact you know hanging out with your peers on the team is the best thing for you. So that's the tough part about sticking with a local kid. But being a 4-star recruit, being a top 100 national prospect, he shines, and he was definitely what they needed, and frankly better than Elijah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you could honestly say that after that tournament. You know, Elijah has maybe a little more size, the natural athleticism, but I feel like Marshall just knows the game a little more than Elijah. I mean, Elijah, when he figures it out, it's going to be pretty darn good. But right now, Marshall looks a little more NCAA ready.
Well, and what probably told you a lot is in some of those auxiliary gyms when it's late in the day or at night, it's maybe their third game of the day, and it's hot and steamy back there, and that really is conducive to maybe a fourth quarter where you kind of coast a bit. But you and I didn't see him coast once.
No, never.
Yeah.
And that definitely stood out to coaches. A guy that who really did have a little bit of a high profile going in. You know, he was on radars for some big schools. He did not coast at all, and he made an impression. That just shows you what it can do.
And no doubt it seems like he's going to come into UNLV and make quite an impact right away too.
Well, he is there will be five new faces. If things stay this way, there will be five new faces on the UNLV on the UNLV bench come 09. Three of them high school guys, two transfers. And the second of those two transfers, Chase Stanback from UCLA, committing not long before Marshall. One, what do you know about Stanback? And two, I mean, how do you think maybe that influenced how fast Marshall committed after that?
Well, Stanback committed on a Saturday night, and I believe Marshall was 5 days later.
He was Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon, yeah. So that was 6 days later. It wasn't a Monday or Tuesday, so he didn't feel the pressure to really get that one quickly. But within a week is a pretty good time, too. He knew what was up and knew that if he didn't get this, he'd be missing quite a good opportunity. Stanback is more of a – He's more of a small forward. He's about 6'7". There were some questions about his defensive ability at UCLA. He didn't get a lot of time there, but they have a wave of kids coming in. So he saw the writing on the wall that probably minutes weren't going to be there next season. I think he shoots about 40% from the field. But he's got a lot of versatility and a lot of potential, and if someone like Kruger's going to see that in a kid, you probably can't go wrong.
Yeah, and you look at the types of players that they filled out this class with. You know, you have like you said, kind of a small forward type in Stanback. You've got a good shooting guard in Marshall. You've got maybe a point guard of the future in Derek Jasper, transferring him from Kentucky. A defensive stopper potentially in Justin Hawkins, mm-hmm. and then the big man from Finley Prep, Carlos Lopez. This is not only a pretty well-rounded class, but I mean, you were given some numbers before we got going here. I mean, this is probably one of the better classes, not in the West right now, not only in the West, but maybe one of the best classes at this time in all the NCAA ranks.
Sure, Ryan, you can definitely rank it among the top classes in the country of the elite schools. I did a little research. Rivals.com has a pretty good rating resource, and Duke for the class of 09 has 1 4-star kid. They have 1 athlete so far signed up. Florida has 2, including a 4-star. Kansas doesn't have any. Kentucky has 3. 1 is a 4-star. Memphis has 2. 1 is a 4-star. The cream of the crop is probably North Carolina. They have 5. Yeah. 5 guys are signed for 09.
They might as well just stop.
Yeah, but as we know, how it looks good on paper doesn't exactly transform into instant NCAA titles.
Yeah.
So, but they're the cream. They have John Henson and Dexter Strickland. Those are 2 5-star kids. And the other 3 are 4-stars. So there should be a few titles coming Roy's way.
You would think.
You would ask Kansas fans
that one.
But nationally speaking, you can arguably say UNLV is in the top 5. That's probably conservative. Out west, Arizona has 3 signed for 09, 2 are 4-star. The other kid's a 3-star. Arizona State has 2 4-star guys. So UNLV is arguably tops in the west. And among the Mountain West, it's really a joke because only New Mexico is close. They have 3 guys signed up for 09, 2 are 3-stars. And UNLV is proven that it's got quality, it's attracting quality, and it seems like they are kind of starting a little bit of an unofficial rivalry with UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
They had a PR release right before they went to Australia saying that in the last 2 years, only UCLA has more victories than UNLV does. So there's a little bit of a budding rivalry there, especially with Stanback leaving UCLA. He's now at UNLV. UCLA has 2 kids signed for 09. 1 is a 4-star. Got to give UNLV the edge there. So maybe we can see a little rivalry start to transform on the court in the form of hopefully some kind of contractual deal in the next few years.
That would be fun to watch.
That seems like a natural.
Especially because UCLA basically announced its return to the national college basketball scene over the last
Absolutely.
Few years. And you feel like UNLV is getting there. With not only what they've done these past 2 years, but what they've got – not locked up, but committed for 09. They're building something, because to be able to out and out, put probably 85-90% of your focus now on the classes of 2010, 2011.
Yeah,
and they're laying some good groundwork right now, and wins don't hurt.
They are. It's sort of ridiculous to get such a jump on the game so early. We're talking about 09, but the 08 class, the kids are going to be ready to go this year, are going to make one heck of an impact.
Yeah.
Trayvon Willis, the Memphis transfer, is going to be a bull of a point guard. Biaz Hamga, Bryce Masamba from Finley, Derek Santee from Midland Community College, where he won a JC title. They instantly have low post presence, and so it's a prototypical team that Kruger will not have to kind of make up on the run.
Yeah.
He's had to do that the past couple of years, if not the past 3 years.
Which is typical at a yeah. new job like that mm-hmm. for the first few. But he's done a great job with it. There's no question.
Fantastic. So with the senior leadership they have in Wink Adams, Joe Darger, and Rene Rougeau coming this season, there, you know, all of a sudden there's expectations, whereas they were short and undermanned in recent years, especially last year. Now there's expectations. So that comes with a whole new ball of fun, which they'll find out.
Well, before we get out of here with this week's episode of The Rebel Room, the debut episode of The Rebel Room, this is going to be a good time, especially once basketball season gets going.
Looking forward to
the X's and O's and everything. But right now it's all recruiting. And where does the recruiting in 09 go from here is a big question. You've got Clarence Trent, a big man at Finley Prep down the road.
Right.
You've got, like we mentioned, Elijah Johnson, ranked by Rivals.com as a top 30 guy mm-hmm. in the class of 09. These are guys who they were recruiting for that final spot. And, you know, what do we know about, you know, you never know what could happen, who's going to leave, who's going to come, who's
right.
going to go. How hard do you think they still go after those guys?
Well, you know, there's two sides to that. Number one, as far as the rankings go, hey, that's great paper evaluation. Granted, these guys know what they're talking about. They're experts. But look what Kruger's done in the past with some very talent. It wasn't exactly highly ranked nationally.
Yeah.
Going to the Sweet 16 2 years ago with some talent that when they were in high school, they weren't that, you know, that top-notch as far as national rankings. So again, you know, take the rankings with a grain of salt, but perception's reality. And at the moment, you know, they're sticking with the elite of the country. And as far as Clarence Trent goes, Kruger talked to Finley coach Mike Peck last week and said, you know, we're not going to lay off him. We're not going to quit recruiting him because you never know what can happen. Kruger learned that last year when four kids who started the season on the roster were not there, Marcus Lawrence and his three buddies. So, you don't ever know what can happen, and stranger things have happened than Clarence Trent all of a sudden finding a scholarship available at UNLV in 1 year.
Well, before we get out of here, the last thing we'll hit on. So far, of the five commitments for 09, the three high school guys, the two transfers, who do you expect to make the biggest impact right away? Should that commitment hold up?
Wow, part of me really wants to say Carlos Lopez because I think the jump he's going to make in the next year as a senior at Finley Prep is going to be dynamic. He's 6'10", 6'11". He goes almost 210 soaking wet on the scales. Doctors in Puerto Rico think he could blossom to 7'1", or 7'2". The only reason I hesitate on that is because there's already such low post presence there that between Hamga and Masamba.
He might not get the time.
He probably won't get the time, which is a great thing for him because he'll be able to learn slowly and Kruger will bring him along. Lou Hill does a great job with all the post players, so he won't be rushed into anything. So all that being said, Carlos, he's got a heck of a future. But I would have to think that Derek Jasper is just going to make one heck of an impact. Trayvon Willis will be very good at the point this year, but then next season he will theoretically be able to move to shooting guard where he is more comfortable, and Jasper will be able to run things, and that show will really be something.
I'd love to say Marshall, just, you know, mm-hmm. from being as impressed as I was with what he did at the Super 64, but I'm going to jump right with you. I'm going to say Jasper you know, he has the, I would almost say, maybe the best pedigree coming in. He, you know, remember, this was a pretty highly recruited guy out of Paso Robles a couple of years ago, spent a couple of years at Kentucky. He's going to mm-hmm. be coming off the injury, but he's going to be fresh. Going to have a year to practice with these guys. I like his potential.
I think so, you know. One other little nugget in there, though. Without getting too ahead of ourselves about 09, let's talk about this upcoming season. And I think the one guy who's really going to make a splash, who is sort of under the radar to the average fan, is Oscar Belfield.
Okay.
Kruger, from the moment he put this class together, liked Belfield's upside, and I'm hearing that he's just looking great in practice the last 4 or 5 weeks in pickup ball. He's making smart decisions. He's playing well inside. He's making smart reads, great dishes. He's got a good jumper. So I'm going to stick with the coach on this one as far as the kid who might make the most impact this next season. And if he really shines and really blossoms, that could affect what happens with a guy like Derek Jasper. So, you know, Kruger has said time and again, these guys make their own decisions. It's what they do that determines where they end up, who starts, who ends up in a reserve role. And, you know, that could be just perfect for a guy like Oscar Belfield.
Good call on 08. All this talk of 09, we're almost forgetting that there's an entire 08 season to be played.
Yeah, we just had to slow down just a little bit and back up. So we'll talk about this Final Four run before the next Final Four run.
There you go. This national championship before the next national championship.
Oh, I don't know about that. But you know, in talking about, you know, comparing UNLV with what they're doing to UCLA, it's very comparable, if not better. And you look at what UCLA has done three Final Fours in a row, it's not outlandish to think that something like that could be in store for UNLV in the very near future.
All right. Well, that's this week's Hoops Talk here in the Rebel Room. For Rob Mish, I'm Ryan Green, and also for Alex Adianju and Andy Samuelson from our football portion at the beginning of the show. We'd also like to thank Casey Flair for taking a few minutes for the Rebel Room this week. We will talk to you next week. Brand new episode. Stay tuned.
Grazie.